The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Returns today following a midterm break. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe joins me now to talk through what will happen over the next few days before the general election will be called. Sean, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
First of all, why do they get a midterm break? For the life of me, I can't understand it.
Oh, should they get it like most of the civil servants or a lot of the teachers and stuff? Anyway, they get it for their week off to mind the kids and all that kind of stuff, you know.
But sure, ordinary business, you don't get a midterm break. It comes out of your annual holiday if you require a midterm break. So what's it all about? How did that come into being?
You don't get 3 weeks of Christmas and you don't get 2 months in the summer as well. It's just very nicely baked into everything there. Yeah, it's a good question. It's certainly like they obviously could have much shorter breaks, particularly in the summer. I mean, it's basically like being a teacher when you get all that time off and you don't.
Well, so many of them used to be teachers in the chamber anyway. So I don't know how many of them are still teachers, but there you go. Anyway, let's talk about what's going on. They're back, how much work they'll have to do. They'll have to work hard to get the finance bill through.
Yeah, there's actually quite a busy slate over the next 2 days to get things through. So the finance bill is the big one today. 4 hours of it on the Dáil agenda to get all stages done. Usually the finance bill gets done by the end of November. It is your general indicative timeline. So they are squishing an awful lot of it in and probably going to guillotine some of that debate. And then it's back in the Seanad for a couple of hours tomorrow to finalise that off. But there's a couple of other relatively weighty bills. One that's flying a bit under the radar is going tonight is this new tobacco bill that is going to ban the sale of tobacco to under 21s. It's going to be done over a phased amount over the next few years. So not going to apply to vapes and other e-cigarettes and stuff like that, but tobacco products to under 21s, that's due to be finalised in the Dáil tonight. Then they've
Okay, so it wouldn't include the nicotine vapes, for example?
No, it doesn't include those. So they've, as far as they've gone with those, banning them to the under 18s, but the vapes will still be available, just other tobacco products. And it's done sort of on a phased basis. So if you're turning 18 now, you will still be able to buy them until you're 21. But if you're an 18-year-old in 2027, you won't be able to buy them, that kind of thing.
On a legal principle, I see difficulty in this. Now, whether the industry will have a go at this, the idea of saying you're an adult at 18, you've got the right to vote, da-da-da-da-da, but you can't buy a fag until you're 21.
Yeah, I just
wonder, because they said they couldn't do it for drink. You know, they couldn't ban people from having a drink until they're 21, as they do in the United States in many places. Even though you can fight for your country in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever it is at the age of 18, you couldn't get a drink in your home state maybe until you were 21. So that was in the States. And we said we couldn't do that here for the booze, but we can do it for the fags.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I was just about to raise the alcohol one. It's strange because the whole argument of this is on a health basis. And if you're making the argument on a health basis, then surely you should make the same argument about alcohol. But of course, alcohol has this sort of almost cultural significance in Ireland where they don't really want to go near that and have that row, whereas there's not going to be too much pushback, except for some of the cigarette industry. And they're focusing their revenge, as Micheál Martin put it, certainly on the vapes instead. So it'll be interesting to see if it goes that way. And we're seeing the other side where now there's talk of bringing the voting down to 16. So you might be able to vote at 16. But you couldn't be able to smoke until 21 or maybe in the future.
Okay, so that's one bill that might go through tonight. What else?
So some of the other ones tomorrow are a little more officially, if you like. So there's the House of the Oireachtas Commission bill funding the House of the Oireachtas. There's a supplementary estimates for the public service. So this is the money, the extra money that's going to government departments to make sure that they don't run out of money either this year or in the interregnum between a new government being formed. So there's some of the major ones that are going through over the next 24 hours, sort of clearing the board, making sure that there is no real legal reason that the government departments couldn't keep going. Another interesting one, actually, the family courts bill, that's up today as well. So this is establishing a separate family high court and other family courts to deal with that in a totally separate court away from the high court.
Yeah, well, and not before time, say I. Now, what about the bills that they wanted to get through or maybe the opposition wanted to get through but will not have time?
Well, quite a few, and one that is interestingly going to be up for mention today in the Dáil is in relation to the Occupied Territories Bill. Obviously, we have seen that come from the government now, the change in advice that there is actually a legal possibility that this could be brought forward. It is up for mention in the Dáil today. No doubt that there will be a row over that. But the government is saying that the significant amendments need to be made to it in order for it to be legally passed and for it to be constitutional and to comply, most importantly, with EU law as they see it. So there will be a big push from the opposition saying, look, will you get on this? This is something you can absolutely do now. The bill's been hanging around since 2018. The government isn't going to pass that, but it will form a bit of a row.
Okay, and other bills that are there, the mental health bill, for example, that won't probably have time to get through, but they're saying that there's all-party consensus about it, so the next government, whatever its constitution, will probably just go back to it at the point where it's paused and carry on.
That's it. So basically what happens when the Dáil is dissolved, that any bills that are in the system that haven't been dealt with, they are said to fall. They kind of fall by the wayside. But they can be revived and they can be brought back at the discretion of the new government coming in. You've seen it with things like the Occupied Territories Bill, which was in the last Dáil and then was brought back in and is now being tossed around again. So any of these are at their discretion to bring back in. You think of things as well like the assisted dying legislation. We obviously had the vote on it a couple of weeks ago where the Dáil indicated a majority in favour. That's on the back of a committee report. That hadn't been progressed, hadn't been formed into a proper bill. That's something that will potentially be dealt with by the next government, depending on the makeup of it, because it's obviously a contentious issue. So you have things like that that they just didn't quite get around to, would like to have done, and will no doubt form part of the manifestos we'll see over the next few weeks.
Now, there's a little wrinkle, perhaps, in Simon Harris's plans to go to the park. The president is kind of busy on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the president has a little bit of business on. There's a few different bits, actually, that could form difficulties or form wrinkles, indeed, for Simon Harris to go up there. One being his trip to Budapest, which is due for Friday morning. He's meant to be basically flying out on Thursday and going out on Friday, coming back then. So the wrinkle and the... I suppose the thing in it is he going to do that then on Thursday morning? Is he going to call the election Thursday morning, then head off out of the country, pursuant obviously to the president's schedule, and then call the election on a Friday evening is the other option, which isn't necessarily the best time. A lot of advisors have been saying you don't really want to call an election on a Friday evening, Friday when there is a very big rugby match that we avoided calling the election on this date for, and there's a number of other bits going on. So there's sort of a bit of a jiggery-pokery going on. I still think from what I'm hearing, perhaps Thursday morning is the most likely date. The thing being spoken about against it, obviously what you mentioned there, but also that he would be out of the country for the first 24 hours of campaigning. Not necessarily great, but you could flip the other side and say, well, he'll call the election, then go off on the world stage.
They've been campaigning for the last weeks. So, the fact that he misses the first official day, I mean, there are so many days they've already been hopping around the country campaigning. But the president is delivering the Kofi Annan Eminent Speaker's Lecture between 2 and 4, and he's going to be prepping for that in the morning. So that limits his time.
I think he will find 10-15-20 minutes that morning to step out of his preparation for that speech and say to Simon Harris, yes, okay, the Dáil can't be dissolved. As much effort as Michael D. Higgins, we know, puts into all his speeches, and an awful lot of time goes into both writing them and then delivering them. But he, look, I think there is absolute time in the schedule to do it. If you look at the Dáil that morning, there's nothing very significant on. I think Thursday morning is the most likely time.
Yeah,
put it this way, if he turns it down because I'm preparing to give a speech, it's a pretty lame excuse to turn down to open the Dáil.
Okay, and he will be delivering that speech online from the very room where it's normally customary to dissolve the Dáil. So anyway, that's kind of the set piece that will happen at some point, Thursday or Friday. Now, I'm reading that Fianna Fáil have some difficulty with some disgruntled councillors who are not on the ticket.
Yeah, this is really interesting. So we've had the Fine Gael sort of exodus of independence and the Alan Shatters and the Kate O'Connells, and that happened to them then. Now this week, two relatively high-profile Fianna Fáil former candidates now running as independents. So we might start with Roscommon, Galway, where Senator Eugene Murphy has decided he's going to run as an independent. He was a TD for Fianna Fáil between 2016 and 2020. He lost the selection convention to Dr. Martin Daly, who is a candidate based in Rathgar. He's the former head of the IMO. He is the team doctor for the Roscommon footballers and is the sole Fianna Fáil candidate they decided in that three-seat constituency. Eugene Murphy had sort of waited to be added. He had made the argument that he's in the Roscommon end, and that makes up the vast bulk of that constituency. In fact, the Galway part of it is significantly reduced because of the constituency redraw, but he wasn't added and decided now to run as an independent. And it makes that constituency particularly interesting. It was relatively cut and dry until the death of John Nocton the brother of Denis Nocton, the Fine Gael candidate and councillor. He was fairly expected to take a seat in that constituency. Now it's pretty wide open. You would say Michael Fitzmaurice as an independent is going to top the poll. Claire Curran of Sinn Féin will be in the running. Certainly Dr. Daly will be in the running. And then you have Eugene Murphy and the Fine Gael candidate, Senator Aisling Dolan. Now, Aisling Dolan narrowly outpolled Eugene Murphy last time around, but Murphy had a running mate in Orla Layden, the daughter of Terry Layden, and will hope as an independent he can get in. I think it's still a little bit of a long shot in a three-seat constituency, but certainly mucks it up for them. The other one is down in Wexford, where you have a long-standing councillor in New Ross, Councillor Michael Sheehan. Again, he was the third candidate on the Fianna Fáil ticket in 2020 behind James Brown and Malcolm Byrne. He got a very respectable 4,000 first preference votes, did quite well there. He, again, wasn't added to the ticket. Significant redraw of the Wexford constituency has made it smaller. It's made it a four-seat instead of a five-seat. They decided that James Brown would be the one who came through convention as a junior minister. And then they decided to add in Michelle O'Neill, not the Northern Ireland First Minister, but a former referee in the Wexford town area who actually ran as an independent to the local elections under Verona Murphy's banner. She got about 360 odd votes, didn't take a council seat, was added to the Fianna Fáil ticket, and sort of in protest, Michael Sheehan, who's been a very ambitious councillor, has said that he is leaving the party. He's going to contend as an independent. Now, the problem he has, even though he's relatively on his own in New Ross, is New Ross's prime term for Verona Murphy, who is a high profile independent in that constituency. And Wexford is going to end up being a bit of a bear pit as well, Pat, because of a couple of retirements. You've got James Brown, who will probably keep his seat. You've got George Lawler in Wexford Town, who's hoping to retain the Labour seat of Brendan Howland, who is stepping away. You've got Cathal Byrne and Brydeen Murphy as the two Fine Gael councillors, both untested at Dáil level. Johnny Mython, the Sinn Féin TD in Enniscorthy, who got 400 odd votes in the local elections and then went on to get 18,000 votes the last time around. You wonder, will it be easy come, easy go for him? And Jim Codd down in Rosslare, the AIM2 candidate, who had a massive vote in the local elections. So, and not to mention Mick Wallace potentially running, he still hasn't declared. So a real logjam there.
All right. And on to American politics. You're pulling an all-nighter tonight, Sean?
Yeah, that's right. Talk about like bad timing of getting no sleeps into a Dáil dissolution. I'll be on air tonight on News Talk from 10 o'clock. We'll be going till at least midnight, maybe beyond, depending on how the count is going and whether we're getting any significant results from the US with the America Decides show. We've got a really great set of reporters across the place. We're going to be hearing from Barry White in California. Josh Crosby and Anton Savage are both in Florida. Kieran Cuddihy, he obviously is doing the hard shoulder from New York. He'll be joining me as well. And Henry McKean will be out and about at the swanky to-do that's going on tonight in the American Embassy. So as well as all the reporters from across the United States and a panel in studio, we're going to be really getting the teeth into it and looking forward to a sleepless night.
America Decides, presented by yourself, Sean Defoe, from 10 until whatever. Sean, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.